Today on Dog Pound Report, an exclusive interview with Joe Thomas about an emerging locker room leader. Will the Browns run more in 2015? And we discuss the Cavs' chance to bring a championship to Cleveland. This is Dog Pound Report.
Have a good Sunday morning to you, everybody. Welcome to the Dog Pound Report. I'm Mike Cairns, filling in for Andy Baskin. Will actually join us later in the show from Oakland, and joining me, Matt Wilhelm. And I know this guy pretty well, so it's good to be joined up again. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What an exciting weekend for Cleveland.
You ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get right into this week's trending topics. The Browns entered their second week OTAs, and it looks like they're really starting to settle in as both offense and defense are showing improvement. Head coach Mike Pettine talked about this improvement during this week's OTA press conference.
I thought today was good. I thought the move the ball period was very competitive. The offense did a nice job driving at the end. But this isn't real football, so that's right. It's tough. Some of those run plays, I mean, we're not playing flag football. They might have gone for a little bit more than what they did. So I think the days are productive. I think we're doing a good job of understanding how to practice, how to be good teammates and stay up and not put each other at risk, because that's difficult to do.
All right, you're out there every day, and Browns fans watching the show right now, the big question, so where is the defense at this point compared to the offense?
Defense is by far and away ahead, simply because they've installed last year. You know, Jim O'Neill, we had on Cleveland Browns Daily, talked about we can get into the graduate level side of this defense, which means taking what we did last year, fixing, stopping the run, which he made very clear to us as well, but graduate some of the coverages, some of the exotic blitzes right now. And again, John DeFilippo is installing his offense, a lot of shifts, a lot of movements. This is new to Josh McCown. This is definitely new to Johnny Manziel, but they're adapting very well, but the defense is definitely dominating.
Yeah, and I hear so many good things about John DeFilippo's offense, and this offense looks like it's showing a lot of promise.
It is. Again, being in the building each and every day, have the opportunity to go out, either look from the windows or walk right out to practice. Had an opportunity to talk to John DeFilippo and just threw out my two cents as a former linebacker in the NFL. And I said, all those shifts and movements make it really tough on a defense. And he's like, are you being facetious? I said, no, it's for real. And it is definitely true. When you can get a defense kind of off kilter, making checks, you know, miscommunication is all it takes for a chunk run or a chunk pass between a DB and a linebacker, whatever it may be. And it's working to our advantage right now. We just have to, you know, crawl and then walk and then eventually run by the time September gets here.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of the OTAs, too, they don't have helmets on. Sometimes, most of the times, they don't have pads on. But can you sense the competition even in this shortened environment that they have?
You definitely can. And I know Nathan Zagura and myself have written out who we think is going to make the team. But there are position battles in each and every room, and it's driving that competition. And you can tell on the football field, but you really do tell and you really do grow throughout these OTAs. Otherwise, they wouldn't have them. And that's part of becoming a pro and why I feel like a guy like Xavier Cooper, Danny Shelton when he gets back, Vince Mailey when his hand is healthy, and Nate Orchard, those rookies, can really adapt to this game quickly by learning how to practice like a pro at full tempo, as we heard from Mike Pettine talk about keeping guys off the ground, keeping guys away from the knees, and still getting something out of these practices.
All right. Also this week, Pro Bowl veteran Joe Thomas was on Cleveland Browns Daily to talk about the team and another emerging leader in the Browns locker room, quarterback Josh McCown.
Well, he's a guy that's been around a long time, so he obviously understands what it takes to be a winner in the NFL. He's done a great job so far from what we've seen. I'm never a guy that's been good at evaluating quarterback play, but the ball seems to be coming out on time, and there's guys that are catching his passes. So from that standpoint, it's been great. And also just to have another guy that's got that type of experience under his belt in that huddle, in the locker room is really awesome. And I feel like it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off me. And especially when you have a guy like that at the quarterback position, which is the number one position where you need that leadership, that command of the huddle.
Now you're on Cleveland Browns Daily, so you were there for the whole entire conversation. You look at a guy like Joe Thomas, and all this guy wants to do is win. All he wants to do is get to the playoffs. But when you hear him talk about Josh McCown, and he uses the term leadership, as a Browns fan, how do you not get fired up to know that's the guy that's getting under center for you, hopefully for 16 games this season.
It feels like something that has escaped Cleveland for so long. They've had quarterbacks, but those quarterbacks haven't necessarily been the best leaders. And I think they had that in Josh McCown. That's why he was brought here, to be the starter, to lead Johnny potentially now and into the future. But he's taken that role as a leader in the locker room. He's out there having fun. You know, he's 35-plus years old. He's having fun with his receivers, chasing them down the field when they make a throw. But what I really think is so important about Josh McCown is you have Joe Hayden, a defensive player. You have Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner as defensive players who are leaders in that locker room. Now you have that stand-up voice, not only as your quarterback, but on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and you went exactly where I was going to go. You talk about all the defensive leaders, and this team was built around leaders. One other thing Mike Pettine did was bring in those defensive guys that you talked about. Joe Thomas has been a leader. We all know that. Isn't it natural for the quarterback to be a leader? Don't you want him to be? Even if you're in the locker room going, man, I want this guy to stand up and say something.
You're right about that. Absolutely. The template is out there around this league with Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. It feels like we have that guy in Josh McCown right now.
All right. And lastly, Browns and Bills have agreed to hold joint practice sessions in Pittsburgh, New York, in the days leading up to the team's nationally televised preseason showdown at First Energy Stadium. The practice is slated for Monday, August 17th at 10 a.m., Tuesday, August 18th at 6 p.m. at St. John Fisher's College. The Browns and Bills square off the following Thursday here in Cleveland at 8 o'clock in a preseason game that'll be broadcast by ESPN. I know you're a guy who never had the chance to actually have one of those type of scrimmages all week long with another team, but how good would this be for the Browns?
It's going to be huge for the Cleveland Browns, and Mike Pettine would not have signed off on this if it wasn't. I think Browns teams have passed. You feel like they have a good preseason. They're getting things together throughout training camp. You're excited for the season, and then it starts, and they're not what you thought it was. This is going to be a litmus test for this team. It's going to be a litmus test for a lot of those competitions going on in different groups. If you play well in that scrimmage and then carry it over into the game, you get that check in the positive box, and that there's going to be a lot of tight battles, and that's the way to differentiate the talent on this team.
Yeah, I think Browns fans are going to be fired up to actually see them play somebody, or at least scrimmage somebody during the preseason, getting into the preseason as you go through training camp. Much more to come here on the Dog Pound Report. Stick around.
After the break, can Duke Johnson repeat his college performance in the pros? How will LeBron and company perform in the NBA Finals? And our social post of the week.
And welcome back to the Dog Pound Report. Joining us now, Browns head writer Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, thanks for stopping by this week.
Hey, it's great to be back. I like working with these new faces here.
Yeah, I know. I'm the first-time guy. You got to be nice to me. Now, you have an article that answers a lot of questions about the OTAs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, we're rolling out the mailbag. We're going to make it a weekly installment on ClevelandBrowns.com. And we fielded a lot of questions, but the one that I was most intrigued by was a fan asking me, will the Cleveland Browns run the ball more in 2015? And I think it's a good question because you look at what the Browns have invested on the offensive line with the pick of Cameron Irving when you already had a pretty good starting offensive line to begin with. Then there's maybe that uncertainty at quarterback, bringing in Josh McCown, who's is an admitted game manager. He wants to control what the Browns are doing on offense. And then you've got those running backs, a lot of young running backs, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West. You add Duke Johnson to mix, a guy like Glenn Winston they love. There's a lot of competition at that position. So it makes you wonder, are they going to run more? It's hard to figure, though, because the Browns already were running the ball a lot last year, sixth in the league in rushing attempts. So I just think they're going to maintain it, if not exceed that total in 2015.
Andrew, you mentioned all three backs, Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, and now Duke Johnson. What are the differences between all three players, and what roles will they play in the upcoming season?
Well, I think Crowell and West are both pretty similar. And I think in the NFL today, you have to kind of have that two-headed monster of traditional running backs. There aren't many Adrian Petersons in this league. So those are two guys that they can divide the carries. They're both used to carrying about 25, 30 times in college, but here you only need him about 12, 15 carries a game. But then you bring in Duke Johnson, who's kind of a change of pace guy. Even though he was kind of the bell cow at Miami, he's coming in here to do specific things like catch passes out of the backfield, maybe add some speed to the outside, be your third down guy, and also do some special teams work. So he's a kind of running back that the Browns just really didn't have last year in the offense.
I think whenever people think about adjustments to the offense and you get new faces to run the offense, everybody's thinking, oh no, they're going to do some drastic things. But when you got a guy like Mike Pettine who wants to run the football, there's not going to be a lot of changes, is there?
Right. And John DeFilippo, he's a new offensive coordinator, but he's not trying to bring in his system. He's trying to do what's best for the Browns. And I think the thing he saw last year was they did a lot of good things running the ball, particularly when Alex Mack was on the field. You know, before he went down with an injury, it was about 148 yards per game rushing. The three games after he was out, they didn't even crack 70 yards. And then they finished the season about 108 yards a game. So they know they have the pieces in place to run the ball. So he's picked some pieces from that playbook last year, done what they do well, and then added in his sprinkling, which maybe more focuses on the passing game.
All right, and of course, one of those running backs that are in the mix attended his first ever OTA this week. That is Duke Johnson. Let's see what he had to say about his spot in the backfield.
I think that's why they brought me in, because I'm that kind of a change of pace back that can kind of line up anywhere and run things that maybe most running backs can't. And I'm looking forward to see just the different ways we use me in offense, if it's from receiver, routes out the backfield, whatever it takes, I'm all in.
See, I loved this pick from the start. I mean, you already had the two young guys getting a lot of experience. Now you throw in this guy, an explosive guy who can hit the hole and really kind of a game changer. How does he kind of fit in that? Well, if you have those three young guys, how's he kind of fit in that backfield?
Well, you know, I think Terrence Westing and Isaiah Crowell, they both are, they say they can catch the ball, and I think they will catch the ball more this season, but Duke Johnson's a guy that's proven it in college level. He had about 38 receptions for 40 yards, a few touchdowns at Miami. He likes catching the ball in the backfield. John DeFilippo says he wants to get the running backs more involved in the passing game. It's a really good safety option for the quarterback. Just dump it down and let them do the work and run up the field. So, you know, I think that is one reason that Duke Johnson excites you. Two is what this guy can do on special teams. I think he was an explosive kick returner as a freshman at Miami. They took him off that role later in his career because they wanted to save him for the running game. But he's open to both kicks and punts with the Browns. So we'll see how he works his way into that position, but he's competing there right away.
What's going on in ClevelandBrowns.com? You know, what can people tune in on the Browns mobile app or ClevelandBrowns.com right now?
Well, you know, this is the summer, so we're allowed to kind of dive deeper into some stories. We've already written about Simon Frazier and kind of his career after the Browns. We're going to Alabama this week to really dive deep into Carlos Dansby's relationship with his father. So just more in-depth stories. They'll be on the way and rolling out over the next couple months.
Gribbs, good stuff, as always. Thanks for stopping in.
Thanks, guys.
Busy guy. Always a very busy guy. Stick around. Much more to come with the Dog Pound Report. After this timeout, we'll be right back.
Coming up next, will the Cleveland Cavaliers win the NBA championship, plus our weekly predictions?
Now, welcome back to the Dog Pound Report. As you know, the Browns are very supportive of all the professional teams in town, and right now they're all about the wine and gold. So let's head out to the West Coast. Sitting outside Oracle Arena, a guy who sits here on Sunday mornings, our own Andy Baskin joining us. And Andy, I guess the most important thing, the news came out on Friday, Kyrie Irving, the fractured left kneecap, he's done. How does this team not only try to replace him, but how do they rebound from this loss?
Well, I don't know that they can replace Kyrie Irving, especially after the way he played in Game 1, and we were all concerned about at what level he would be, because earlier LeBron had said, look, even Kyrie at 40% is better than no Kyrie at all. Well, now you're at no Kyrie at all. So the fact that he played at like 85% before the injury in that Game 1 of the NBA Finals, it hurts. It really stings, because he was able to play so well. So the Cavaliers are going to have to go next man up, and Mike, as you know, and as everybody across Northeast Ohio knows, that the Cavaliers have been able to play without Kyrie Irving. The difference, though, this isn't the Chicago Bulls. This isn't the Atlanta Hawks. This is the Golden State Warriors, who are deep, and they can hurt you in many ways. So that's what the Cavaliers are going to have to do, figure out a way to replace his 23 points that he had in Game 1. It is a daunting task for this team.
Andy, can LeBron James sustain the pace of playing 45-plus minutes, really scoring at a high pace, if this series happens to go 6 or 7 games?
Well, look, if the Cavaliers are going to do this, they're going to need LeBron to play the best basketball of his entire life. Let's be honest. He's got to carry this team, much like he carried the Cavaliers to the NBA Finals in 07 against the Detroit Pistons. He got them there. Well, he's in the same boat here, although this team is really good, the Golden State Warriors, as we saw in Game 1. So if LeBron wants a crowning moment in his career, it would be lifting the Cavaliers to the NBA Finals championship without Kevin Love, without Anderson Varejão, and now without Kyrie Irving. This is going to be a tough task for LeBron, but if there's any player on earth that can do it, it's LeBron James.
Well, Andy, one of the things to come out of Thursday's loss to the Warriors realized, I guess, what the Celtics, the Bulls, and the Hawks all realized, how good Tristan Thompson is and how valuable he has been to the Cavaliers in this postseason. But they lost the rebound battle on Thursday night, and that has been something the Cavaliers have not been used to in this postseason.
Yeah, look, when the Cavaliers win the rebounding battle in the postseason, they are 12-0. That's something that has to happen for the Cavs, for them to be able to beat the Golden State Warriors. The one thing the Cavaliers also did, and Tristan definitely played into this, is they played better defense than they have been doing so far. Look, they stopped the Splash Brothers from really dominating the game, and every time that they started to get hot, the Cavaliers were able to shut them down. Well, Tristan Thompson is not only going to have to shut them down on the boards, he's going to need help from LeBron James also on the boards, but Tristan's going to have to help out offensively. They are going to need other offensive weapons going into game two. And Tristan, in the past, let's face it, he was one of the superstars on this team. He is going to be asked to do more to help the Cavaliers win. This could be one of the greatest moments in Tristan Thompson's life if he's able to do more than just the little bit that they've asked him to do all season, which he's been excellent at. Now he's going to have to expand his offensive game in game two, starting with tonight's game.
Andy, every sports team here in Cleveland is very aware of the lack of a championship in 51 years. And the Cleveland Browns and their players, Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden, have turned out in full force to support the Cleveland Cavs in the NBA Finals. What do you look forward to as the Cleveland Browns really pour out support for the Cleveland Cavs to hopefully eradicate that void of a championship here in Cleveland?
Well, I think they're really, and you kind of touched on it there for a second, how cool it's been. If you go back to the playoffs and you talk about Joe Thomas trying to get the crowd fired up, or Joe Hayden, that's the thing about Joe that I love. Look, he had the celebrity softball game last night. Joe likes giving back to the community, and I think that's true for most players in Berea. But to see Joe at every one of these Cavs games, I really think it's important, especially for that past millennial generation that really takes a lot of pride in the fact that these players like to stick around in the offseason and they want to be a part of the community. Joe is like the best guy on this team as far as doing that, because he gives back not only to the Browns, but you see him at the Indians. And when these guys show up for the Cavalier games at the Q for the NBA Finals, I know fans of all the teams of Cleveland appreciate the fact that these guys want to be a part of the community. And I think both Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden have done a great job of giving back to the community. And we see that at Cavalier games, and we will see it again there during the playoffs.
Andy, isn't it pretty cool, though, that guys like the Browns players, they're not from Ohio, as most of these guys, but they support all the teams within Ohio. And that's kind of a pretty cool thing, especially they're all professional athletes. But when they get into this city, they truly are all in Cleveland.
Well, and look, if there's one thing we can learn, it's how great the fans have been for the Cavaliers here. And we all know how great Browns fans are, because they come in, week out, and it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. They are there to support the team and the city. And I know the players realize that. The Cavaliers have definitely realized this, too. And Mike, I hearken back to the closeout game against Atlanta, where he was talking to the team before, talking about winning it for the city, winning it for the city. 51 years has been a long time. The Cavs have the best opportunity now, but you can see that the momentum rolls not only to the Cavs, the Indians, but to the Browns as well. And when you're feeling good about one sports team, as we've seen in other cities before, when one sports team gets on a roll, the others seem to do the same.
Andy, thank you for getting up so early this morning. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll see you when you get back to town.
You got it, guys.
Now the Dog Pound Report continues after this timeout.
When we return, we bring you our social post of the week and weekly predictions.
And welcome back to the Dog Pound Report. He is Matt Wilhelm. I'm Mike Cairns. Browns' first ever Fan Fest. How cool was that yesterday?
It was so cool. The fans turned out in full force. 40 players on the current roster, as well as alumni, were there signing autographs. Swagger was there. There was a football field. Dante Whitner held a youth camp at Fan Fest. So it was an amazing day yesterday.
All right, let's get into this week's social post of the week, because it comes from Browns offensive lineman Joel Petonio. It's a picture of his bowling gear, not just any gear, but Dog Pound inspired shoes and bowling balls. And he posted, "When I'm not at practice or sleeping, we bowl. Have to rock. with the Browns colored gear. And I think we learned a little bit more and more about the personality of this guy and just how much this guy could become a fan favorite.
Most definitely. And I think that's part of the culture change that's happening here in Cleveland, the new Cleveland, as well as the new Cleveland Browns. These young players want to play for the Browns. They want to have their career start and finish here.
That's important, though, especially for the younger players to make that connection with the fans, don't you think?
It is. And I think it's unique to Joel Bitonio playing next to a guy who epitomizes the Cleveland Browns better than anybody in Joe Thomas.
Yeah, and you got to have a little bit of an edge as an offensive lineman. You have the edge, but you got to have a little bit of a personality too, don't you?
They all have personalities. Everywhere I've been in my stops, San Diego, you know, San Francisco, as well as Green Bay, the offensive linemen are the funniest by far.
Yeah, and speaking of personality, this guy has got his own cooking show. I mean, how about that? You can't beat that. You can catch Joel on upcoming episodes of Inside the Cleveland Browns, his own segment where he explores Cleveland restaurants and cooking with their chefs. And again, offensive linemen like to eat. This is a perfect fit for him.
You're absolutely right. He fits it to a T.
All right. Finally, we've got our weekly predictions. Now, this is my first time, so I'm going to let you go first.
Sure, absolutely. My weekly prediction after a few practices of OTAs is the position battle between Justin Gilbert and Tremon Williams to play opposite Joe Hayden.
All right, for me, I'm going to go basketball. I'm going to go different. We talked to Andy. It is game two tonight of the NBA Finals. When you got LeBron, you always have a chance. I think the Cavs win game two tonight and come back home on Tuesday tied 1-1, and then it's game on. LeBron was the X factor.
He is the X factor, and I just don't know what LeBron we're going to see. Are we going to see the one-on-one scorer or the facilitator? I think this Cleveland Cavaliers, without Kyrie, need to have LeBron get his 25-8-8, but passing the ball and spreading it around. But we have to have J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert shooting from deep.
What do you have to do to get Joe Hayden to bring you to the game with his tickets?
Well, Joe and I need to get a little closer now. I know I'm there in Berea, but there is, you know, there's the upstairs and there's the downstairs. The players want to be downstairs for the most part, unless they're signing a big contract. And I'm upstairs doing the show every day on Dog Pound or Cleveland Browns Daily.
Yeah, but the cool thing about, especially basketball fans, everybody's all in for basketball when it's basketball season. Obviously, they're all in for football when it's football season. It's baseball season as well. Right now, former professional athlete yourself, you went to a ton of sporting events. I mean, how cool is it to see that crossover?
It's amazing, and no other place that I've been has had another sport. You know, San Francisco was separated with the Giants up in the Bay Area, and you're down there in the San Jose area. Green Bay had no basketball team, and of course, the San Diego Chargers had no basketball. You had to go up to L.A. to root for the Lakers, but it's amazing to see that connection here. I think as we saw Cam Irving get introduced at an Indians game and the reception he got being a first-round draft pick. So all in all, I think as they coined the phrase, Cleveland is all in.
Yeah, they are all in, and let's hope the Cavs can bring it home tonight. Thank you so much, Matt, for letting me hang out with you. It was a good time tonight.
You got it. Great time.
Make sure to tune in every week to the Dog Pound Report, 11:30 Sunday mornings, and don't forget,
we bark together on the Dog Pound Report.